You're in the trenches with Dave Lappin, brought to you by First Star Logistics. If you're looking for a new career, be sure to check out firststarlogistics.com as they're looking for energetic people to take over in logistics and be dominant. It's a fun place to work. Dave Lappin and I can tell you that for sure because we get a chance to hang out in the studio down there all the time. And joining me, Dave Lappin, who just got done with Bengals practice. And Dave kind of got cut short from what you're telling me.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Bengals and Rams joined the Panthers and the Patriots and other teams that have had joint practices that ended up in a situation you don't want to end up in. And it happens. It's very competitive. It's the second day you're going against each other, and tempers get short. But, you know, you don't want to – yesterday was such a great day of work. It was productive. Teams respected each other. Practice was done at a high tempo, really good work for both teams, talking to both coaching staffs in the field before this practice. They were all very enthused and excited about what transpired yesterday, and we're really looking forward to today. And it was going along pretty well. And then toward the end, LC got into it with Leonard Floyd, and it got to where three times in a very short period, they were locking horns and doing some extracurriculars and grabbing each other's face masks and really getting after it, where both teams, they were split up. Ones were working against ones, twos against twos, and both teams would just, kind of swarm upon each other and try to stop it. You don't want football fights. I've seen ugly things happen in football fights. One thing that was always taught, don't lose your helmet. If you're in a scrum like that, you don't want your helmet to come off because bad things can happen. And helmets did come off. Thaddeus Moss had his helmet ripped off his head, and he got pushed down from behind. He got thrown around a little bit from what I could see. And, LC and Floyd were really going at it. Back in the day, I think Forrest Gregg would have said, all right, you guys go ahead. There were bushes all around the practice field. Probably said, go in the bushes. You two solve it. We're going to go back to practice. You guys don't want to play football and you want to box, go over there and fight. That's not the realistic scenario. And so they cut practice short because of it. You know, it was too heated. The third time was the most violent, and a lot of guys got involved. So it was obviously very, very edgy at that point in time. And they decided to just shut it down, cut the practice off, and missed about a 15-play sequence of team that they would have done moving the football, and then they missed some situational football, a couple of two-minute drills against each other, which is what they finished practice with yesterday. So it looks like they did not get some productive work in that they could have gotten done, and that's what this is all about, because they're not going to play in the game. So, you know, you'd like to get two-minute drills against a good opponent offensively and defensively, see if the defense can make a stop, see if the offense can execute and score points, and that final situational aspect of things was taken away. So, and then 15 play sequence, move the ball sequence, that was taken away as well. And there's going to be some third down conversion situations in there and things of that nature. So they did get a lot of good work in, just didn't get all the good work in that they could have gotten in. I'll say that both teams very competitive, obviously. And one thing about LC, he's not going to take it from anybody, and Leonard Floyd's not going to take it from anybody, and those two end up squaring off on multiple occasions. So really, really unfortunate they couldn't finish what they started. But all in all, when you evaluate what took place over the course of most of the 2 days, I'd say the positives far outweighed the negatives. But the sad thing is, instead of talking about the positives, this is going to blow up. It's going to blow up on social media. It's going to blow up on, every outlet in television, radio, and you name it, any media coverage that there is that covers the National Football League, which is everybody. This is going to be a prime story. And it's unfortunate that that's the case as it concludes. And now the Bengals and Rams are going to, they're going to have a period where it's not going to be a competitive environment, be walkthroughs tomorrow and then play a football game on Saturday. And the big thing is this officiating crew that's here, there was an officiating crew for both of these days. So they're going to be acutely aware of the fact that the way this ended, So you got to figure that in the early stages of that football game, they're going to do everything they possibly can to make sure that they're going to control the game from the outset. And there's not going to be any bad blood that spills over into the action on Saturday night. But quite honestly, LC and Flood won't be taking a snap on Saturday night. Both of these coaches have the same philosophy. Starters don't play. So that was the last official act between these two teams that were working ones against ones, that the twos will be playing preponderance of snaps on Sunday and even threes. But the ones, their final snaps against each other turned into a Donnybrook, which is very unfortunate.
Dave, we did a segment last year about fighting in the NFL, especially during preseason, sometimes within teammates, let alone when two squads get together and to do a joint practice. Does that, do you feel, you know, one, why has it become the norm? Or is it just because it's more out there, as you said, social media, the coverage that the NFL gets, something that's always happened in the NFL throughout the history of it, and it's just more, you know, out there now because of all the social media? Or you see this becoming a thing where these joint practices, where a lot of people feel that the preseason games should be put aside and have more of these joint practices between squads, maybe that not happening because of situations like this?
Well, I mean, I've seen a lot of fights take place in games as well. And I've seen guys that, teammates in practices, teammate against teammate, not only in football games against opponents, but get frustrated with a teammate. And I've seen broken hands, broken wrists, guys punching teammates with helmets on. And they're punching them like, you know, they're thinking they're just going to punch them in the head, and they got a helmet on. And you get fractures and have to wear casts all season long, and it hinders your ability to play. I mean, that stuff took place, and it was not the smartest thing in the world, you know, that's for sure. And then sometimes teammates have disagreements, and sometimes teammates don't like each other, just flat out don't like each other. I mean, that happens. Sometimes things just don't mix, and seen offensive and defensive players in the locker room just one walk up to the other and hit the other one right between the eyes and split his head open. So, I mean, I've seen all kinds of things, believe me. And, you know, you try to make sure that those things don't occur. Try to make sure as teammates that, you know, there's harmony amongst the team. And there was nothing going on between either of these teams, Rams internally or Bengals internally. It was Rams against Bengals, and it was one player against one player, Collins against Floyd. So it wasn't like it was a pervasive, rampant thing. And and all it takes is one, though, for it to turn into a problem. So, and then before it could turn into a snowball into something more, like I said, there were 15 plays left to be run and 2-minute drills. All right, well, now let's not let this turn into a tidal wave where everybody's trying to get the best of each other, and now there's going to be more frustration, there could be more fighting, there could be more whatever. Let's just let's have cool heads prevail, shut this thing down, everybody take it into their respective locker rooms and call it a day. So, it was talked about. I mean, it was talked about by both head coaches to their teams. They actually, you know, said, look, we don't want to have a situation like it's been obviously highly publicized with the Patriots and the Carolina Panthers in their joint practices before their game. So, and in cases where it has happened, there wasn't anything that carried over into the game. I think everybody's smart enough to understand that there's massive coverage going on a national basis. This game, Rams-Bengals at 6 o'clock on Saturday, is on NFL Network. It's getting big coverage. It's getting local coverage in both TV markets as well. There's going to be a lot of eyeballs on this thing. So I don't think there's going to be any kind of a carryover. And like I said, it's unfortunate that all we're talking about is this, because again, there were some good things that took place during the course of practice. I mean, watching Jamar, if you have a chance if you're Jamar Chase and you have a chance to go against Jalen Ramsey, I mean, that's iron sharpening iron, no, plain and simple. I mean, that's big time stuff. A lot of the Rams players and coaches I heard on the sideline talking about Logan Wilson. They were talking about what a great player he was in the Super Bowl and what an athletic linebacker he is, you know, when he was performing out there yesterday. So that's the kind of thing that, you know, players start to generate respect from other players. Other things I saw that I thought was very interesting and would never have happened back in the day as a player in these joint practices, you not only have your own coaches talking to you after drills that go on, or team period when you're running 11 against 11, but I, on more than one occasion, and I saw it multiple position groups, the Rams coaching staff talking to Bengals players, Bengals coaching staff talking to Rams players, and telling them, you know, things that they saw, good and bad. And I mean, that's invaluable information. I mean, the more diversified information you can get as a player, I mean, the better it is. And that never took place where you'd have coaching staffs commingling and talking to players. Now, you know, you have to, and it's not that they're coaching them. They're just telling them things that they saw that, boy, that was a good read. That was this, that was that. And boy, your eyes were tremendous here. It's not like they're trying to show up the other coaching staff and say, well, they're not teaching you the right techniques, the right way to do things. All of it's reinforcement, and it comes from a different source. You've been hearing it from the same voice, you know, all during training camp. And then you hear things from other voices, and it's like, you know, you've been working against the same guys in practice every day, all through training camp. Then you're working against other guys in practice, and that's an adjustment that has to be made. So all of that stuff is extremely positive in my mind, watching all that take place. And then, guys losing their cool and, letting things get out of hand and having to call practice early, you know, puts a stain on it, which is unfortunate because, man, a lot of tremendous things took place practice and about, you know, 7/8 of a practice the following day. So the other thing is, watching Joe Burrow. He's already at the point where he's looking guys off. You know, Joe's already like, he's moving defensive backs with his eyes and then making them pay, you know, throwing it to spots where they shouldn't have vacated. I mean, that's the excellence of Joe Burrow at the quarterback position. All the little nuances of playing the game at the quarterback position at such a high level. And, he just gets it. A lot of quarterbacks can't do it. I mean, they don't feel comfortable doing that. Joe does a tremendous job of using his eyes to deceive on the back end and using that to his advantage. And he's already getting to that stage in very limited snaps, you know, and he's special. There's no question about it. Made some great throws again today. I mean, it was good give and take. I thought, both teams did some things well offensively and defensively, and both teams also have things to work on offensively and defensively. But players that you wanted to go out there and take a look at working against other players, it looked pretty darn good, you know, because there were good players on both sides of the football, for both phases, offense and defense, for both football teams. And they got some pretty good work in against very, very strong matchups. There's no doubt about it.
As we've talked about in other episodes this week, this is getting down to the crucial time for players to make this squad. What are the key things that you think fans should be watching for when the Bengals and Rams do take the field in the final preseason game going into, a week off and then into the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, there are big decisions to be made in the special teams. I don't think that Darren Simmons has necessarily made his decision with the punter. And both punters are going to alternate, and they're going to alternate as holders as well. And I asked him about the holders, has there been any difference in terms of percentage of a success rate when one's holding and the other one's not, or whatever the case may be. And he said he intentionally mixed up the snappers, the holders. The only thing that stays the same is the kicker. And he's mixed them up from various distances and hash marks and everything else. And he said it's basically a dead heat. So, that's just practice, the operation in practice without much of a rush and all that. But same thing has happened in the game. He's only missed one field goal. And on the one field goal that he missed, the 58-yarder that McPherson missed, the snap was a little bit high. And that was not from Clark Harris, though. And in my opinion, I think I'd be leaning toward keeping Clark Harris. I think that one, in my mind, is a little bit more decided. And I'm not sure that I make a move to do both in the same year. If I'm going to keep Clark Harris, Kevin Hubert be the one that would be in jeopardy. I might keep both, obviously. I still might do that. That's my primary option. The other option would be if down the stretch here and in this final preseason game, one outpunts the other dramatically and the holding numbers continue to be the same, because holding in the operation from McPherson is so important. You know, if you make a move, I don't turn over both phases of the operation the same year. I don't let Clark Harris go and Kevin Huber go the same off season. I just don't do it. To me, that's I think you're playing with fire there. If Clark Harris is with the team and Kevin Huber is not, I think that's not as dramatic. If you move one year, maybe you think about potentially, depending on how the other one plays, you know, you might think about doing it, another year down the road. But I just can't see both of those components in that operation, the snapper and the holder, the snapper and the punter, both of those guys moving on at the same time. It's been such a successful operation, but that's just me. We'll see how the whole thing unfolds. That's going to be interesting to monitor, though, against the Rams, how the snaps are and how the holds are and how the punts are. And obviously McPherson has had an unbelievable training camp, and I think that will continue. And then special teams are going to decide, the fate of players. There's no doubt about it. And anybody that's on the bubble, I mean, you've got to treat every special team snap against the Rams in the final preseason game like it was a special team snap in the Super Bowl. You have to play with that kind of intensity, because bottom line is your fate with the Cincinnati Bengals is going to very, very close. Do I keep the extra defensive back instead of the extra linebacker, instead of the extra running back, instead of the extra wide receiver? I mean, man, it's close. I mean, it's going to be some very, very tough decisions for Darren Simmons to make. And then the position coaches have to be in agreement. It's like, oh, I really like this guy. This guy's going to be, if there's an injury, this guy's my first guy. He might play some snaps for me. And, now you have to evaluate who's going to provide the most value for you, offensively or defensively, with your position group. That coach is going to chime in, and then Darren Simmons is going to have a big voice. So, I mean, with the starters not playing, you're going to have an opportunity to show what you can do offensively and defensively at the line of scrimmage, and then the final determining factor, the all-important special teams, the all-important third phase. Darren Simmons is going to hold the fate of quite a few players, half a dozen players or so, that are going to make it or not in his hands. There's no question about it. It's going to be very interesting to see that fur fly, as they say, as far as special teams are concerned on Saturday night.
He is Dave Lapham. You have been in the trenches. Thanks to the folks at First Star Logistics for everything they do for us and making sure that we were able to bring out the best content covering the Cincinnati Bengals and other sports. So make sure you check out all the content we've had on In the Trenches over the last couple weeks with camp. Also had a great interview Dave had with Tyler Stevenson, the catcher for the Reds, which was very entertaining, very informative. And be sure to subscribe if you've not done so already, and hit that like button. That helps us grow the channel. Dave, as always, great talking to you. Look forward to catching up with you in the studio here real soon.
Yeah, and we'll probably catch up, Dave, after the after that final preseason games against the Rams on Saturday, and then we'll catch up in the studio. Look forward to seeing you. Have the best weekend you ever had, my man.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
At First Star Logistics, we're a very strict company that really puts the pressure on our employees. Brakes? What are those?
That's what I'm talking about, Icky. Get the body right, then the mind's right. You know,
gotta get that body right.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Become a star with a chance to earn the highest commission percentages in the industry as a freight broker agent. Check out firststarlogistics.com.